Our Bible reading today is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Now, there's no doubt that live streaming for the first time on this first Sunday of lockdown 2 does feel quite risky. It's like we've put all our eggs in one basket. Is the technology going to hold out? Is our internet connection up to it? Is your internet connection up to it? Have you wandered off already to get a cup of coffee? But as if all that wasn't risky enough, I am going to try something even more risky. I'm going to tell a joke. It's not a very good joke, and there's very few people here to laugh at it, but here goes. A woman walks into a veterinary clinic with a very limp parrot. She places the parrot on the vet's operating table, and it lies there totally still, not moving a feather. "There's something wrong with my parrot," she says. The vet looks at the parrot, he prods it a bit, he gets out his stethoscope and he listens to the bird's chest. "I'm sorry to say, madam," he says, "that Polly has passed away." The distressed woman says, "Are you sure? Aren't there any more tests you can do? Maybe she's simply unconscious. There may still be hope." The vet rolls his eyes, he shrugs his shoulders and he walks off out of the room, and he returns a few moments later with a cat. And the woman looks on in amazement as the cat jumps up on the table, sniffs the parrot from top to bottom, looks up at the vet, shakes its head, a sad meow, and then hops off out of the room. The vet goes out of the room again and returns this time with a dog, a large black Labrador. And the woman watches as the Labrador stands on its hind legs, puts its paws on the table, sniffs the parrot top to bottom, looks up at the vet with sad eyes, shakes its head, and then leaves the room. "I'm sorry, madam," says the vet. "There is no hope. Your parrot is most definitely dead." And then he turns to his computer and he hits a few keys and he produces a bill for £500 and he hands it to the woman. £500, says the woman. £500 just to tell me that my bird's dead." The vet shrugs. "If you'd taken my word for it, madam, it would have only been 50. But it's a lot extra with the CAT scan and the lab report." Now, if only the band had a cymbal here that they could crash at this point. And because I can't see you, I'm going to have to just imagine you sat on your sofa with tears of laughter running down your face. If you need to pause the live stream just to wipe them and recover, that's absolutely fine. Unfortunately, on this live stream, we haven't got our live chat set up yet. Otherwise, you could have given me feedback on just how funny you found that. Maybe it's a good thing we haven't. Now, I know it was a terrible joke, and when you get to the end of this service, you will be quite unable to remember why it links in any way to our Bible passage this morning. This is a sermon and a passage about hope. And that was, well, it was a hopeless joke about a hopeless case, a dead parrot, an ex-parrot. "Madam, I'm afraid there is no hope." And in contrast, our passage begins today, if you've got a Bible, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Christians are people of hope, living hope, a mark. In fact, one of the three defining marks, faith, hope, and love of Christians is that we have hope and we need it right now because there isn't a lot of hope around in 2020. Well, actually, I suppose we should say that there are plenty of things that the world and that we are hoping for right at the moment, but there's little assurance about whether those hopes will be fulfilled. We hope that there will be a vaccine for COVID-19 soon. We hope that this second wave will be over soon, will be the last wave. We hope that we can spend this Christmas with family. We won't still be locked down. Plenty of things that we hope for. But so many hopes have been dashed this year. So many disappointments. Hasn't this been a disappointing year, 2020? I had lunch this week before lockdown earlier on in the week with someone who has had three family holidays cancelled this year, or rather the same holiday cancelled three times, April, July, November. He looked pretty disappointed. But Christian hope is different. In the Bible, hope is something that we can be sure of and that we will not be disappointed by. That's the title of this series of sermons, three sermons on hope over these 3 weeks. Romans chapter 5 says, hope, God's hope, does not disappoint us. That's the kind of hope we need right now. And I want to give us three reasons for hope from this passage, and then just to think about why they make the difference. The first reason, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christian hope has its foundations in the past. It is grounded in something that God has done, an event in history, the resurrection. If you look at the end of verse 3 of the passage this morning, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. About 2,000 years ago, God did something that changed everything. He raised his son from the dead. Jesus, whom he had sent and we had killed, he lived among us, he died for us in our place, the sentence of sin and death that we deserved upon him, he died. And 3 days later, he rose again. It changes everything. It changed his first disciples. They had lost hope, hopeless, fearful, locked in a room, changed for the rest of their lives. It changed history, and for those of us who are Christians, it has changed our lives. It's why we believe. The resurrection changes everything because it shows that death is not the end, that evil will not ultimately triumph, that justice and peace will prevail, that sin and suffering and sickness have been dealt with and one day will be banished. So Christian hope is not wishful thinking. It's not how I would like things to turn out in the end, because it's based on how things did turn out in the end, when it looked like hope was lost, and yet God turned everything round. Hope is alive because Jesus is alive. So Christian hope is firstly founded in what God has done in the past through the resurrection of Jesus. But Christian hope is also, secondly, focused on what God will do in the future, the return of Jesus. Our passage says, verses 4 and 5, we'll be given living hope through the resurrection, and then verse 4, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed. We have an inheritance which is kept in heaven for us. This doesn't just mean the promise of going to heaven, But more than that, all the riches that God has in store for us, stored up for us, waiting in heaven, freedom from suffering and pain and death, renewed bodies, perfect fellowship with God and with one another, a renewed creation, a new heavens and a new earth. In fact, the full and the final picture in the Bible is not so much that this inheritance that is something that one day we will go to when we get to heaven. Rather, it is an inheritance that will ultimately come to us when Jesus Christ returns. In the words of the passage, the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. We're going to be thinking a little bit more about that next week. Joy's going to be preaching on eternal hope. We need that right now. As we look at rising daily death statistics, as we deal perhaps with our own fear of death. Someone said to me just recently that one of their struggles, one of their successes, in fact, over the last few months was coming to terms and not being fearful of death. In the face of COVID-19, we need to hold on to our eternal hope. We've been thinking about reasons for Christian hope, and this passage has given us two so far. Two great events in history, two stakes in the ground. The resurrection of Christ in the past and the return of Christ in the future. Resurrection and return. And you and I are here in the middle, living between those two events, on the line between resurrection and return. And very often in life, in the middle, we can feel hopeless and rootless and lost. Where are we heading? How will it all turn out? And these two things, these bookends to history, help us to find our bearings, to orientate ourselves. I am here. I am part of this ultimate story, God's eternal plans and purposes from resurrection to return. I am safe. That's what verse 5 says, shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed. I have hope. Because I know where all this is heading. I know where I am heading. Because of the resurrection in the past and the return that's to come. Now, I don't know how good you are at orienteering. Did you ever do your Duke of Edinburgh award? Do you know how to use a compass and a map to take bearings and pinpoint your position? Maybe not, but just stick with me for a moment. The problem with map reading is that if you take two bearings that are directly opposite each other, on the same line between them and you, then you know what line you're on your map, but you don't know where you are on the line. It's probably a good thing we haven't got live chat set up this morning, otherwise there could be all sorts of distractions, members of the congregation trying to explain the finer points of orienteering. But it's a bit like that as we take our bearings on the resurrection and the return of Christ. We know what line we're on, where we're heading, but we don't know how far along the line we are, how near we are to Christ's return. That's part of what it is to live by faith in Christian hope. But I want to give us a third bearing, a third reason for hope. Now, the analogy breaks down here because this bearing isn't going to tell us how close we are to Christ's return, but it's another reason for hope. The resurrection of Christ in the past, the return of Christ in the future, and the refining work of God in the present. Look at verses 6 and 7. Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of troubles. But these have come, he says, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. All kinds of trials, says Peter, all of us have and will experience all kinds of trials. Some of them are common to all of us. Some are a result of being Christians. That was the case for Peter's readers. Some are specific to you and perhaps your family. Some are regular, even familiar trials to you. Some are new and unexpected, like the particular trial that we've all been living through for the last 8 months. If there was no hope for the future beyond this life, then trials and suffering are largely a disaster. Each one is a waste of the precious time we have left to us on this earth. But Christian hope allows us to see not just a future beyond this life, but God at work in suffering itself. He is preparing us. He is refining us through all kinds of trials. They've come, says Peter, so that your faith may be proven, refined like gold in the fire. Suffering is not a sign that God has abandoned us or our world, however much it may feel that way sometimes. He is at work in it. In fact, and I say this very carefully so as not to be flippant, suffering is where God does some of his best work. Suffering is a furnace through which our faith is passed. And in it, our faith is refined, preparing us for what is to come, bringing praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ, because we've persevered and we've been purified, because we are precious to God, our faith more valuable than gold. So we are worth him working on. It's one of these truths that's much easier to accept in theory than to live out in practice. But as we look back over these last 8 months and ahead into this new lockdown and beyond, we must ask, we've said this many times recently, what is God doing? What is he working on in me? How is he refining my faith? We must take comfort that he is at work. In fact, Peter would tell us that we must rejoice. In this, he says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So don't let anyone tell you that being a Christian is about hanging around on earth, enduring the misery of this life, and just trying to be joyful about something that happens after we die. No, the joy is now. Verse 8, Peter says, you believe in him now and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving now the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Christian hope is not a hope that's so focused on the past and the present that it's effectively useless and lifeless in the past and the future. It's effectively lifeless and useless in the present. No, it is a living hope, a hope to live by, a hope that makes a difference to our present day experience in all kinds of trials. Because we have a sure and certain hope that will not disappoint. A hope founded in the past on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, focused on the future, the return of Jesus Christ, and experienced in the present and the refining work of God in all kinds, every kind of trial. Let's pray together. Lord God, in these confusing and disappointing times, help us to keep our bearings, our confidence in what you have done and will do and are doing. And so help us to hold on to hope, knowing that we will not be disappointed. In Jesus' name, amen.